Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our next episode of Fitness with Feldman. I am Dr. Justin Feldman from Feldman Physical Therapy and Performance, and I'm excited that after our month-long hiatus without recording an episode, that I am here with John. John?
Hey, everybody. Justin trapped me in a car to do this, so we're looking forward to another good episode, though.
So, we took a little bit of a month off as we sort of retooled, made sure we had a great list of content coming forward, and finished up the winter, and now we're supposedly getting into spring, although this weekend, John and I are up in Boston in the middle of a snowstorm, taking a great course on managing and working with runners, and we thought this would be a really good opportunity to get a couple of episodes recorded so that we're both here together and you're not stuck listening to me ramble on. So this week we wanted to talk about return to play guidelines and what sort of things we like to use as our benchmarks for getting people back into sports to ensure success, as opposed to rushing back in and, as people say in the PT community, sort of returning to failure and having them end up right back in the clinic. So, John, what are some of the things you like to look for as far as return to play guidelines?
You know, depending on the injury, of course, you know, is it a structural issue within the joint, or is it, you know, soft tissue, or, you know, a tendon issue, which are the really common ones, you know, those little niggles that come up when people, you know, go from, you know, couch to 5K again once the weather breaks. So, you know, we have our, I guess, you know, benchmarks for, like, you know, if it's a knee issue, can you hop up and down, you know, because that's all running is really, right? You know, so can you do that pain-free? And another big thing that I like to do is, you know, educate the patients. You know, we always, you know, as therapists, like you were saying, returning to failure, understanding that, you know, pain is just, you know, pain is a good thing. That's one of the things that we've been trying to do lately, I think, is tell everybody that pain is your brain's way of doing its job. So when you have it, it's because it's telling you something's wrong. But unfortunately, most of the time it's, you know, the last thing to come and the first thing to go away. And people think that, oh, it goes away, my pain's gone, I'm all better. And, you know, we try and tell them and educate them that, oh, look, you know, let's compare left side to right side, you know, are your ankles doing the same thing? Are your knees doing the same thing? Are your hips doing the same thing? So, you know, depending on the injury, I like to see how, you know, the whole body is working. If it's a lower leg injury, what's the whole lower leg doing when, you know, the foot's in contact with the ground or anything like that?
Nope, I like it. Makes sense. I tend to use a lot of the same sort of rules and benchmarks. I always like to try and use the other side for comparison, but also the idea of keeping in mind that something caused that injury to come about and that we have to make sure that what caused that injury is gone before we start, you know, sending people right back into the fire and leading them right back into the office again. A lot of times I like to try and come up with things that are harder than whatever they're going back into doing. So let's just say someone's going back into running. I want to see them, you know, have the ability to hop for a while back and forth across the room, because that's probably going to be more taxing on their joints than running. And I feel like that just kind of likes to give people confidence that they can get back into what they're doing. What about guidelines as far as once people are feeling good, we said, all right, you're cleared, go back into it. What sort of things do you like to give people as far as ideas for them to watch out for and keep an eye on so they don't do too much too fast?
I like to tell them to listen to their body first and foremost. You know, soreness is good. Soreness is okay. You know, your muscles are working. When you go to the gym and if you're going to lift heavy and you want to get stronger, you're going to be sore. So some amount of soreness is okay, but I never want people to, you know, get that, you know, false, you know, confidence that, oh, a little bit of soreness is okay, so a lot's got to be better. You know, I think if you're working with any kind of injury and we get them back to activity and we give them the go-ahead, if something happens after they're playing or during their while they're playing, say your ankle gets sore again after you sprained your ankle and you went back on the soccer field or you went for a run. If it starts to alter the way that you're moving, like if your ankle is sore again, but now you're limping again or you're not putting full weight on there, I usually like to tell people, okay, maybe we did a little bit too much, so, you know, pace it back. But definitely try and set them up with a gradual phase to build up, you know, when they get back to the activity. What about you?
Nice. No, I like, you know, I like that. I usually try and give them sort of rules to go by, knowing that they're going to have a little bit of soreness, they're going to have a little bit of pain. And so I want to kind of give them numbers to know that, all right, if you're getting something around a 2, 3, 4 out of 10 type pain, and as long as that kind of goes away when you stop the activity, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I don't like anything that lasts into the next day, sort of regardless of the number. And if during the activity that pain starts to get 5, 6, 7 out of 10, then whatever load you're putting on your body is sort of more than it was ready for.
Yeah, agreed. I see that a lot with the biceps tendon when people want to get back to bench pressing, and you know, they get back to it, but then all of a sudden, oh yeah, towards the, you know, the end of the second and third set, you know, really started to bother me. You know, so I couldn't do as much. You know, that's probably a good sign. If you went up in weight, you know, the first set was probably okay, but then, probably too much load on the tissue, and so that's something they want to watch out for.
Yeah, I know when I try to bench press, I run into the problem that I can't take any more weight off the bar, so the bar itself is just more than I can handle.
Well, that goes back to, I guess, you know, you telling people to do more than they're going to be doing, so.
Yeah, that's, you know. So I stay away from the bench press.
Soccer players don't bench press.
No, so they work on their acting, and they...
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is, this is sort of a great way to kind of bring in where we use, like, the functional movement screen and some of the Y balance test issues, because those are great ways that we can get an objective measurement of what's going on, and especially for those ankle sprains, ACL tears, things where people are going back into such dynamic and unpredictable sports. I love using the Y balance test just based on the way that it's able to collect a lot of measurements and a lot of data, so that we can really look at them being the same on both sides.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And, you know, that's even a great way to pick up things in people that don't have any pain or injuries, just to say, all right, well, you have this asymmetry from one side to the other. We can't really figure out why you have it with the test, but we can find it, and it just sort of lets us take other tests to figure out why you have the asymmetry.
Yeah, a lot of people always come in, you know, one of the first things we get on the first visit is, so when do you think I'll be able to go back to it, or when am I going to be ready? And it's a lot, I hate to say, you know, makes our job easier, but it's a lot easier and more accurate for us to tell them when this test is done equally on both sides. And that way, you know, it kind of hits home for them, and they can get an idea of, oh yeah, they're looking for something specific, and I'll know when he knows. So it makes it a little bit more straightforward for everybody. But I really like the Y balance for any kind of the lower extremity and upper extremity stuff.
I also think for me, being able to use the Y balance test takes the emotion out of it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I always kind of want to be the good guy to tell you to go back in, and I hate having to be the guy to tell you, like, yeah, you're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
So when I put you on the test and you can't do it, or you find that something's different, then it was sort of the test that told you. And I don't actually have to say anything. People can really feel the difference from side to side, and they know, all right, I'm not quite ready yet. And then I'm not the bad guy.
Yep.
All right. So that is it. We are approaching our 10-minute guaranteed time cap here. So thank you so much for tuning back into this episode. And as always, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play Store, and keep sending us over all these topic requests. And hopefully we'll get a bunch more episodes with John and I together, so people don't get too sick of listening to me ramble on. So have a great day. John, any last words?
No. Get off the couch and get moving. Warm weather's coming.
All right, that's it. We'll see you right back here next week.